everyone. This is Jillian with Court Junkie. Court Junkie is a true crime podcast that covers court cases and criminal trials using audio clips and interviews with people close to the cases. Court Junkie is available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
The following episode of Strictly Stalking contains graphic depictions of the sexual assault of a minor. Listener discretion is advised.
I ran into the bathroom, in the girls' bathroom, like really quick. And then I put my feet up on the toilet and I picked out my phone out of my purse or my backpack. And I was just like, "Mom, you have to come save me." And she's like, "I'm just leaving, getting ready for work." And I'm like, "There's people here. My ex is like trying to like do something to me. I think he's going to jump me." And it's like really early in the morning before school's starting. So I don't know what to do. And she's like, "I'm coming." And I was like in tears, just sitting in a toilet.
I'm Jamie Beebe.
And I'm Jake Deptula. On today's episode of Strictly Stalking, we're speaking with Danielle, who was stalked in high school by her ex-boyfriend.
In high school, Danielle was bullied and mistreated by her classmates, but thought things would change for the better when she began seeing a boy in her class.
The relationship quickly went downhill because he was abusive and sexually assaulted Danielle.
She broke up with him and refused to talk to him, so he started rumors about her. She began receiving threatening notes from other students. Her ex followed her to and from school and even sent people to her house to physically attack her.
There was a confrontation at the school, and Danielle was attacked by other students, but the school did nothing to help. Until her mom intervened.
Danielle is now an author and speaker helping to raise awareness for teens dealing with the dangers of dating and domestic violence.
Danielle, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Where did you grow up?
In Ontario, Canada. I was a kid that was bullied a lot as a kid, but I think it was just because I was so different. Like I was biracial, so a lot of people weren't used to still seeing that. And kids would point it out to me that I looked weird.
What were some of your hobbies growing up?
I did ballet for a short little while. You know what? I mostly just hung out with my cousins that were boys. And we hung out at my great-grandmother's house. And we would just tackle each other and play in the dirt in her garden. And it was just mostly tag. And that was my experience is just hanging out with my brothers and my boy cousins and having a ball.
What was going into high school like for you?
I was extremely nervous about high school, but excited at the same time because you can reinvent yourself. And I figured because I was bullied for so many years, I could just be a different person, a new person, and could totally change my image.
And how did high school end up turning out for you?
Actually, it was pretty brutal. The friends that I made were just mostly just in my classes, so I just chose to hang out with them because I figured, well, I can't get away from them, so I might as well just hang out with them. And they were nice in the beginning, but then they really started to be really mean to me. But it wasn't really noticeable. It was kind of just like, "Oh, you're not pretty enough," or "I don't like the way that you dress," or "You're not smart enough." And they just point things out. And it's like they already knew that like I was already suffering from like somewhat low self-esteem, but I was okay with who I was. But it was kind of like, I guess, intimidating for them because they just thought this girl who was very like okay with herself.
And we know a lot of kids, unfortunately, are bullied throughout high school. What type of bullying was happening to you?
My type of bullying that was happening to me was mostly just verbal attacks. Sometimes there would be throwing of pencils, maybe, but it wouldn't get that hard. It was mostly you would verbally attack somebody and then it would grow into swearing and then it would either disrupt the classroom or cause an issue in the hallways, something like that. It was just mostly, "I'm just going to verbally harass you."
Did you know why you were a target?
No, I think it mostly was because I stood out. From my opinion, I just felt like I stood out as a person and I was very comfortable with who I was. My parents were always just like, "Be who you are, be okay with that, and just live your life the best that you can as a good person." So I was just like, "Okay, I'm just going to be myself." I was into fashion majorly. I wanted to be a fashion designer at one point and a model. I was into that. I loved art. I still do. I loved painting. I loved drawing, poetry, anything that was like really deep and dark and amazing.
What was dating like in your high school? Were a lot of people dating and having boyfriends?
Yeah, a lot of my friends had boyfriends and they would always be talking about, oh, my boyfriend, oh, this guy that I like. And I would notice that people were coupled up a lot of the time. And I was just like, okay, this is kind of weird for me. I don't really understand this. I'm still not into the whole boyfriend girlfriend thing. I don't really understand that. I was 14 years old at the time. So I was just like, I'm just still feel like a kid.
How old were you when you met your ex?
14.
And what did you think of him when you met him? Had you known him a long time? Was he in your class?
No, he actually dated one of my friends for a short period of time, and we both met him just standing in the doorway of the school, just hanging out, and we just thought, okay, this is a cool kind of guy, and I wasn't really into him. I was just kind of like, okay, he's cool. There's no big problem there. I don't really care either way. But my friend was like, oh my God, he's so handsome. I gotta date him. And I was just like, I don't get it.
And what did dating consist of at that age?
You mostly dated for like maybe a couple of weeks. The longest time would be like 6 months.
What was it about him that you decided you'd go ahead and date him?
He was really kind to me. Whenever my friends kind of attacked me and said really mean things to me, and sometimes I would cry because I was like a really highly sensitive emotional person. I still am, but I would cry and I would run out of the hallway and he'd kind of walk in and be like, your friends were really crappy. They shouldn't have said that to you. You're a good person. You're a kind person. You're a pretty person. And he would kind of like reassure the fact that I was all those things when my friends were like, you're not good enough.
And how did it come about that you two decided to start dating? Did it just happen? Did he tell you one day?
Yeah, he kind of just kind of asked me out, and I was kind of just like, I guess so. And then he kind of claimed himself as my boyfriend. I remember him putting his arm around me, and I remember feeling so strange about it and feeling uncomfortable, thinking there's something not right about this, but I'm not sure what. And then I asked him to remove his arm from my shoulder, and he kind of was taken aback by that, and I was just kind of like, can we just move slowly? Because I'm not used to being in this whole new like boyfriend girlfriend thing. This is not a thing for me. It's very new. And he was just like, okay, no big deal. Let's just hold hands. And I was like, okay, this is still uncomfortable, but I'll do it anyway.
Did you tell your family and friends about him?
Yeah, my brothers knew about him. My friends definitely knew. They were pushing me to date him for a little while. And I remember asking my friend who did date him for permission to kind of like, as girl code, not date her ex. So I was just like, may I date this guy that you dated? And she was like, I don't care. And I was just like, okay, I just want your permission because you're my friend. And she was like, yeah, I don't really care. And then my mom was not too pleased because I remember her saying that I couldn't date until I was like 15 or 16 years old. And she was like, you're 14 years old. You can't date a guy. But she was just like, you're a teenager. What can I really do about it? So.
And were you guys going out outside of school, hanging out, seeing each other, or was it mostly an in-school thing?
Mostly in school, we would go to the movies, but that was about it. And it would be mostly with friends, so it wasn't a huge deal to me. It's just more like hanging out still.
And how long did this go on for?
This went on for the relationship lasted 2 years and a couple of months.
At what point did the relationship change? When did you notice him changing?
I remember talking on the phone one time with a three-way call with one of my friends and him, and we were talking, and he kind of just freaked out about something. I think he was like yelling at his aunt or his grandmother that he lived with at the time. And I was just like, can you just calm down? Everything's fine. It's going to be totally okay. Can you just relax and give your grandmother and your aunt a break? And it was just kind of weird behavior to me because it was like I never yelled at my parents.
What other red flags were you noticing at the beginning?
Just that I was really uncomfortable. I just couldn't shake this feeling that I was uncomfortable, but I didn't even understand how or why. It was just something in my body just said that you're not comfortable in this period in your life or this, it's awkward. Like, it was just not flowing like the way it should have in a normal relationship. It was just kind of just like, wow, you're really not comfortable dating this guy. But I would push past that and be like, no, it's just my mind playing tricks on me. I'm totally fine.
When you started going out with him, did that change the perception of other students? Were they basically bullying you less? Were they treating you well? What was the impact of that?
Yeah, everybody started treating me really well. It was kind of like a popularity contest. I started becoming more and more popular just dating this guy. And people would walk up to me and be like, are you so-and-so's girlfriend? And I'd be like, yeah. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, you're so pretty. And it was just kind of like, I was kind of surprised. And I actually kind of liked it because it gave me a self-esteem boost. So it was just kind of like, oh, wow, people actually noticed me.
What was the first incident where you knew something was definitely wrong within the relationship?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I went shopping with one of my friends. I went out shopping with one of my friends, and it was just like a girl's day, just on the weekend. And I remember him calling me on my cell phone and him being like, why are you going shopping alone with like your friend? You know that you can't leave the house without me. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you can't go anywhere without me. Like, I should be there right now. You can't like leave the house alone with like a friend and just go shopping. I have to be there. And I was just kind of like, what are you talking about? And we started arguing on the phone.
What were some of the next incidents that happened after that where things just started to go downhill?
He pushed me into a locker at one point. It was really hard. And I don't even remember what the argument was about. Like, he was just so angry. And he was just like, and it was after school, so nobody was really around. And I remember him shoving me so hard into the locker that my back hurt. And then he started crying. And I was like, why are you crying when I'm the one that's like injured here?
Did you tell anybody about that incident?
No. I think I kind of just brushed it off like, oh, that's no big deal. Whenever I would talk to my guy friends or just guys in general, he would just start like these huge arguments, and he would be like, you're not allowed to just like talk to your guy friends. You have to like cut them out of your life. You're not allowed to talk to like strange guys that like I don't know. So you have to like stop talking to guys in general. And I was like, this is nuts. So like I used to sneak behind his back and talk to them. But somebody like one of my other friends, my girlfriends, would go and rat me out, or he would skip a class just to keep an eye on me. So he would know about it somehow.
Did you confront him about these things that he was doing, that it was making you uncomfortable?
I was too afraid to confront him. I just wanted to make him happier. I was just kind of finding ways to make him happier instead of like mad all the time, because it was just easier to deal with like the kindness of him rather than the meanness. So I was just make him lunches or help him out sometimes, or just like try to be extra nice that day just to get him off my back.
Was there a point that things got so bad you realized that you were in an abusive relationship?
Yeah, I think at one point when we were in an argument about a guy, I was talking to another guy that I knew in elementary school, and we were just talking, and he turned around and he was like, how dare you talk to this guy in front of me? And then he held my wrist really tight, and I almost thought I broke it. And I realized this isn't a good relationship at all. There's something wrong here. And we were breaking up and going, like coming back together and breaking up and on and off kind of thing. And I was just kind of like, oh, this is not good. Like, this, my wrist really hurts. This is not normal.
Was anyone else that you knew in an abusive relationship like that, or had you seen that at all in your life before?
When I was little, my mom was in an abusive relationship. We don't really talk about it, though, because like my brothers don't really like to talk about it. But yeah, it's just, we saw that growing up. My youngest brother wasn't born, and my middle brother was just, I think he was a baby. I don't really remember. Like, he was around, I think. But yeah, I saw it from that and the visits that I went on with my biological dad. Like, I would see him fight his girlfriends, and I was just kind of like, I guess subconsciously thought it was normal, but I knew it was wrong at the same time.
Did any of your friends notice what was happening between you and your boyfriend?
Yeah, but I think they thought that was normal too, for some reason. they just thought it was, but my guy friends were like, you should not be treated like this. Like, you deserve better. This is not how a boy should treat a girl. And I was like, oh, okay.
On a winter night in a small community near Denver, Colorado, Jim Matthews arrived home late.
He expected to find his 12-year-old daughter who'd been dropped off after a Christmas concert. But when he called out, "Hi, Janelle," the house was eerily quiet.
His daughter's shoes were on the floor, but she was gone.
And it would be 35 years before she would be found. Dead.
After the discovery of Janelle Matthews' body in 2019, the police turned their attention to a man who had told law enforcement years ago that he knew something.
But they dismissed him. The man did seem obsessed with the case, but is that all he was? A true crime fanatic?
Or a killer?
Wondery and Campside Media's podcast Suspect is back for a second season with a story that attempts to separate one man's true crime obsession from a motive for murder.
Suspect is a one-of-a-kind, suspenseful, edge-of-your-seat story with twists and turns that you don't want to miss.
We've been binging this podcast nonstop and know you guys will love it too. Listen to Suspect wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge the entire series ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. So, I've got a confession to make. Well, actually, I have two. First, I'm not much of a cook. Totally admit it, living a bachelor lifestyle over here. I lean way too heavily on takeout and my microwave. And I absolutely hate grocery shopping, especially when I'm hungry. So when I discovered that I could not only eat well, but have everything selected for me, learn how to cook, and it all arrives at my door, done. I'm ordering HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, I just have to select the meals I want at HelloFresh.com, open up the box when it arrives, prepare, and enjoy. Fast and fresh recipes, restaurant-quality food, the falafel power bowl, best anything I usually get from takeout. That's because it's fresh. There's 35 weekly recipes like Choose Calorie Smart and Carb Smart recipes, and you can even customize select meals by swapping proteins or sides, upgrading your proteins, or adding protein to a veggie dish. So many healthy and delicious options, I can make amazing meals for myself or impress some of my guests. So skip the trip to the store. Go to HelloFresh.com/stalking and use code STALKING for 21 free meals plus free shipping. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/STALKING and use code STALKING for 21 free meals plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
At what point did your relationship kind of go to the next level? I mean, you're very young when you started and it went for a couple of years. At what point did things move to the next level and what was that like?
Well, I remember kissing him on my 15th birthday for the first time, and that was awkward. Awkward and really not romantic at all. So that was the kind of next level for us for years. That was just the next level.
Can you tell us a little bit about that final straw for you? What happened?
Yeah, I remember talking to my mom. I think it was a few weeks before the date rape actually happened. And she was saying, you can no longer stand this relationship. You're changing way too much. You're literally like just attacking me with your words and attacking your brothers, and you're lashing out so with anger, and it's not normal. You're not an angry person. This is not your personality. You need to either get him help if you want to stay in this relationship or break up for good. And I was like, well, I'm going to break up with him. And she was like, good, because you can't stay in a relationship like that. And then when I was planning on breaking up with him, the date rape happened. And I was like, this is the last straw. Because I just felt so scared at that moment. And I was just like, I have to just break it off with him. The incident happened when, I think it was around almost February. And he asked my brother to leave, my youngest brother to leave. And he was like really young at the time. And I was like, why are you telling my little brother to get out of the house? And then I remember him all of a sudden locking the front door and him taking the curtains and closing them and then getting really angry. And I was like, what is your deal? Like, calm down. And he was all of a sudden like, take off your pants. And I was like, what? And I kept saying no, and he was just like, just take them off. Like, I'm telling you to take them off. And he just kept getting angrier and angrier. And I was like, what the hell is going on with you, dude? like, you need to calm down. And I just kept saying no to him. And then he got to the point where he was so angry that I thought that he was going to physically fight me. And I was just like, I don't care at this point. I'm just going to do what you say because I just want this over with. And then I remember him just like sitting on the couch and him unbuckling his pants and just being like, now you have to do the act of giving me, like, first he was like, okay, I need you to do the act of giving me a blowjob. And then it was just like, okay, then we're going to have sex. And I don't remember like how it happened after that because I like totally blacked out. It was insane. It was just, I kind of felt like I left my body and I was like watching myself from afar, but I was also like in this blackout stage and it was kind of like happening in motion, but I wasn't really like in my body.
After that happened, did you tell anyone? Did you tell your parents? Did you tell the school, police, anyone at all?
My mom found the condom in, well, the condom wrapper in the couch, and she was like, who does this belong to? And I kept lying to her, and she was asking my brothers, and she's like, and then I finally had to come out and say it happened to me, and she's like, why are you so ashamed of telling me this? And I was like, because I didn't want him to do that to me. And she's like, well, you were date raped. And I was like, what's that? And she had to sit down and explain it to me. And then she's like, do you want to press charges or not? And I was like, well, I'm too afraid of this guy, so let's not press charges. I just want to like bathe myself. I want to shower it all away and pretend like it never happened and then just break up with him. And she was like, well, we'll do whatever you want because it's your body. And I was just like, okay, I just don't want to make a bigger problem than what's already happening.
And when you did go to break up with him that final time after that incident, how did he react?
He wasn't happy about it. I remember him being like, but why? Why are you breaking up with me? And I was just kind of like, we can't do this anymore. We're toxic. Like, you are toxic towards me and I just put up with it and it's not fair. And he was just kind of like, okay, well, we better not get back together after this time. And I was just like, don't worry about it. I just don't want to even see you ever again. And he was just kind of like, bye. And he hung up on me.
And when did the stalking start after the breakup? What happened?
Rumors started going around first that I was a slut, that I was cheating on him, which wasn't true. He was actually cheating on me with multiple girls. My brother somehow managed to break into his MSN account and found a one that was like different than his and was like, your brother, he's cheating on you. And then I was just like, well, the slut stuff is not going to stick. Nobody's going to believe it. And half the school did and half the school didn't. And then I started getting death threats from my own friends and they were starting to drop like flies. Like they were starting to go on his side. And I was like, okay, now I'm getting death threats from my friends that are actually writing from so-and-so and leaving their names on these death threats. And I was just kind of like, oh my, at first I thought it was a joke. And then it started to really click in that it was something dangerous. Cause I turned around after school to my mom and I was telling my teachers and I was like, I'm getting death threats. They're like, yeah, this is something that we need to take seriously. Like, this is not a joke if you're being sent death threats. And I just kind of thought, okay, well, yeah, it's becoming scarier and heightened fear.
Was it something that you were dealing with mostly at school or was it spilling over outside of school as well?
We only had MSN, like these little chats on the computer. So it was spilling out on little chats and MSN, just people saying most awful things to me. And I remember my brothers at the computer, like reading them out to me. And they're like, you know, this isn't true, right? You're not this person. Whatever they're saying isn't right. And then I ended up so stressed out because of school and because of just it leaking out a little bit at home that I ended up with like a huge rash on my back. It was just like massive. And I was like so stressed out and so anxious. I was so scared to go to school all the time. After the death threats happened, I was mostly just being followed and being called a slut by his friends and his new girlfriend, and they would scream it out loud so everybody could hear so loudly that it was like they would point and they would laugh at me, and I'd just turn around and be like, you guys are stupid, like you can't like hurt me by calling me a slut, like it's just not gonna happen. And then I remember one time where my mom told me, I think on a weekend or something after the incident, because she didn't want to scare me. She's like, your ex-friend came by and I noticed some shadows behind our car that were really tall. And it looked like somebody was going to jump you. And she's like, I just told them that you weren't home, that you were at your dad's place or you were at another friend's place. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, like this is like escalating. This is not good. So I remember walking back and forth to school, calling my mom whenever like I would leave school or leave the house. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to school. I'm just going to stay on the phone with you until I get to school or get home. Then I'll lock the door behind me and I'll let you know that I'm safe. She was just like, okay, just stay on the line. And it was really scary as a kid too, when you're like 15 years old and you don't really understand relationships and breakups and all that stuff. You don't really expect it to go that far.
How was he reacting during this?
He would just mostly laugh. He would just get my friends, like my ex-friends, to mostly do his dirty work. It was just easier that way. They would start spreading rumors in classes and whenever they were in the hallway. And I remember my teachers getting mad at me, the teachers that I wasn't close to, like just random teachers. They would be like, okay, you're going to go, Danielle, you're going to go to the office now because like you're causing like these issues. And I was like, I'm only talking to my friends that I like, that I'm in class with, and they're spreading rumors about me right in front of you. So who are you going to believe? And they were just like, well, we're going to believe this person. So you have to apologize. And I was like, I'm never going to apologize. So send me to the office.
What are some of the other points that people were following you and how did you deal with that?
Oh gosh, they would follow me at strange times. They knew where, whenever I was leaving the house, and I don't know how that's possible, especially in like the millennium era, like how do you know when somebody's leaving the house? And it was really scary because there'd be a couple of them and then they would come into a big group and then they would come through the hallways and just kind of stand in a huge group of people. And they knew that I was alone. So they were just like, slut and liar and cheater. And I'd just be like, what is the big deal about all of this? Like, we're not seeing each other anymore. Like, why are you still obsessed with like having to make my life miserable?
At what point did you go to the school and ask for help? And how did they respond?
I was going to the principal pretty often, like a lot. I was going after the first death threat. My teachers were like, you have to start going to the principal. You have to let her know, because legally she has to let the local police department know if you're getting death threats, because that's what her job is. And I was like, okay, well, I started going to the principal's office. And I remember my brother reporting things too, because he was just, we were so close in age. He was just like having harassment issues too. And he was reporting things. And I remember all of these things kind of disappearing after a while. And I didn't feel safe because my principal wasn't doing the job that she was supposed to. So it was really scary because it was like, wow, if I can't trust my own school, like where am I safe?
How often did you talk to your principal about this where nothing was done?
It was on mostly a weekly, daily basis. It was a lot because I was forced to go to a school counselor at one point. And I remember her gaslighting me and saying, oh no, you're making this all up in your head. You're such a little liar. Like you're just a girl that wants attention. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Like this stuff is really happening. You weren't there. And my mom was like, you're not seeing that school counselor anymore. I don't care if the school is going to force you. We're going to take you to our family doctor and he's going to like sit with you and you're going to get a better handle on things and you're not going to be gaslit by your doctor.
At what point did your mom intervene with everything?
It was the last time I was in school. I think it was around March that it was really, really bad. I was just starting to lose my mind a little bit. And I remember going to school really early. And I remember standing in front of one of my teachers that were like my favorites because their classrooms were side by side. And I remember seeing a friend and thinking, oh, yay, he's here so I can talk to him. It's really early in the morning. I'm surprised he came this early. And we're just standing there, just having a nice little conversation. And I remember this group of people and my ex just coming through the hallways. Like, it was kind of just like a massive group too. It was huge. And it was just kind of like, how did he know that I was here this early? And I ran into the bathroom, in the girls' bathroom, like really quick. And then I put my feet up on the toilet, and I was like, and I picked out my phone out of my purse or my backpack, and I was just like, Mom, you have to come save me. And she's like, I'm just leaving, getting ready for work. And I'm like, there's people here. My ex is like trying to like do something to me. I think he's going to jump me. And it's like really early in the morning before school's starting. So I don't know what to do. And she's like, I'm coming. And I was like in tears, just sitting at a toilet.
And what happened once your mom arrived?
She called me out of the bathroom once I knew it was safe. And she's like, nobody's here. And then they came in a really big group. And this was before there were kids coming in. So the school was going to like, the bell was going to go off and stuff. And they were just like huddling around my mom and I. And my mom's like, back off. And I remember her swearing and being like, telling all the kids around my ex that like they were just as bad as he was because they weren't standing up for me. They were actually with him and they were harassing me, and that was only going to lead to a horrible future if they kept doing the things that they were doing. And she's just like, you're better than that, like most of these kids, so I don't understand why you're hanging around this loser. And then I was crying so badly, and my mom was just like this mama bear, like she was just like, don't mess with my kid. And then I remember her going down to the principal's office, her and I, and I remember her screaming at the principal and the staff and saying, I'm taking my daughter out of school today. She's not coming to school today. We'll talk about this stuff later. I have to deal with her right now and her safety. And I'm going to call the school board, she basically said. I remember her saying that. I remember her just ripping me out of school and being like, okay, you're coming to work with me in Toronto.
What happened once you left school? Did your mom continue to reach out to the school to get help for what was happening?
Yeah, she kept in touch with both of my teachers that I was really close to because they were updating her as things were going along, just calling her and being like, this is happening, this is happening. And they were really good at updating her about everything. So when my mom told them that she was going to pull me completely out of school, they were like, as long as she's safe, we don't care. So do what you have to do. This is your daughter. We don't want like her to lose her life because she's a really special kid. So we can't lose her. And I remember her calling the school board and telling them this principal literally did not follow protocol. And I think she ended up getting fired from her job just because she didn't follow protocol. And she was siding with the kids that were really badly attacking me. And the rest of my teachers were told to give me the same grades as I usually got, which were A's and B's. And they were just like, just give her A's and B's because like that's what her normal grades are. And then like I wasn't supposed to show up at all to school.
So that was the last time you were at that school?
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of my friends that I was friends with, like in elementary school and stuff, everybody was like, oh my gosh, you just got like ripped. I remember years later talking to them, like finding them on Facebook and being like, hey, I'm still alive. And then being like, I remember when you got like ripped out of school, like we were completely shocked because we didn't know where you were. We didn't know what happened. Everything just happened so quickly. We just kind of thought you just disappeared. We didn't even know. And I was like, oh, wow. They're like, we're glad you're safe and everything. We kind of figured that was the case, but like we weren't told anything.
On a winter night in a small community near Denver, Colorado, Jim Matthews arrived home late.
He expected to find his 12-year-old daughter who'd been dropped off after a Christmas concert. But when he called out, "Hi, Janelle," the house was eerily quiet.
His daughter's shoes were on the floor, but she was gone.
And it would be 35 years before she would be found, dead.
After the discovery of Janelle Matthews' body in 2019, the police turned their attention to a man who had told law enforcement years ago that he knew something.
But they dismissed him. The man did seem obsessed with the case, but is that all he was? A true crime fanatic?
Or a killer?
Wondery and Campside Media's podcast Suspect is back for a second season with a story that attempts to separate one man's true crime obsession from a motive for murder.
Suspect is a one-of-a-kind, suspenseful, edge-of-your-seat story with twists and turns that you don't want to miss.
We've been binging this podcast nonstop and know you guys will love it too. Listen to Suspect wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge the entire series ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Strictly Stalking is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Hey guys, let's face it. Sometimes multitasking can be really overwhelming.
Like when your favorite podcast is playing and the person next to you is talking and the car fan is blasting and you're trying to find that perfect parking spot.
Ugh, totally. But sometimes multitasking can be easy. Like getting a quote with Progressive Insurance. They do all the hard work of comparing rates so you can find a great rate that works for you, even if it's not with them.
Give their nifty comparison tool a try and you might just find getting the rate and coverage you deserve is easy.
To break it down, all you need to do is visit progressive.com to get a quote with all the coverages you want, like comprehensive and collision coverage or personal injury protection. Then you'll see Progressive's direct rate and their tool provide options from other companies all lined up and ready to compare. So it's really simple to choose the rate and coverages you like.
Press play on comparing auto rates. Quote at progressive.com to join the over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
How did officials at your high school, looking back on it now, let you down?
Oh God, we had really one police officer in our school and it was part-time. And he was awful. He was so awful to me. He was, and my mom too. And I was like, my mom was like, can't we get restraining orders? Can't we get this kid taken out of school? He doesn't even go to the school. It's not in his district. Like, how can we make her safer? And he was just kind of like, well, the restraining order is out of the question. She's too emotional. She's crying. She's angry. She's feeling too many things. She's not going to stand up and like, no judge is going to take her seriously. And nobody's going to give this kid a restraining order. And my mom was like, well, can we get this kid kicked out of school? And he was like, well, that's up to the school board and the school. And I was just, she was like, what can you do? And he's like, well, if she's being stalked, like she can come to my office, but I may or may not be there. And I was just kind of like, wow, like I'm not safe anywhere.
So once you were taken out of school, what did happen?
My mom would bring me in with her work. So I would go downtown to Toronto with her every day and help her with her work stuff, like filing and stuff like that, because that's what we did when we were on March break as kids. And so I just worked with her.
Did you go to another school then or were you homeschooled?
I was basically just left my own devices, I guess. It was just kind of like, my mom was just like, don't worry about school right now. Your grades are all going to be the same on your report card and going into new schools. So just come into work with me every day and we'll just figure out stuff for you to do so you're not too anxious. She's like, don't worry about school. Just I took care of everything. I went to school board. I got that principal taken care of. Like she got fired. And I just remember her being like, everything's going to be okay. Just worry about yourself and your mental health right now because you're like too anxious to deal with anything.
And was this your senior year in high school then?
I was going into my last year, grade 12, the following year. So I was a senior.
So did you graduate school early or didn't graduate or how did that all pan out?
Oh yeah, I moved to a near area and then I got moved to a different school. So I graduated on time with a normal class and I met people that were actually really nice, but I was scared at first to meet new people in grade 12. I was like, oh my God. I remember talking to my mom being like, I'm so scared right now. I'm afraid to meet new people. What if the same thing happens again? And she's like, you just got to walk up to people and just be like, hi, my name is Danielle. Nice to meet you. Whatever happens, happens. Just follow your gut and hope that people like you. And I was really glad that people did.
Once you moved to the new school, did the stalking stop?
Yeah. Yeah, everything stopped. It was kind of like a new leaf turned over, like a whole 180. I couldn't believe that I actually had friends and people that actually really liked me. And I felt like I was finally liked for me for the first time, and it was kind of nerve-wracking. And I remember my friend saying, oh, Danielle, I remember when we first met, like you had this big wall up and you were like really intimidating and really scary. And we were just like, this, she looked so nice. Like, why is she like so standoffish? And I remember telling them everything that had happened to me. And they're like, whoa, you survived that? Like, you got out of that and survived? And I was just kind of like, yeah, this is why I'm like really weird as a kid. So they were just, and the situation with the abuse and stuff, they were just like, oh my gosh, like, we don't know people like that. So just to know that you came from a situation like that, no wonder you were so like mean to us and so standoffish in the beginning. But it was so nice because I finally found a community of friends and teenagers that actually understood me. And I felt, for the first time, I felt loved.
How did being bullied, abused, stalked through your high school years, how did that change your adult life?
Oh God, I remember having so much PTSD about relationships. I remember taking a year off of dating when I went into grade 12. I was just like, no boys. I can barely handle like hanging out with girls. I was just like, no dating at all. And my mom was like, that's really mature and really good of you to just say no dating for a year, no boys. And I was just like, yeah, well, I just need to focus on like getting past the fact that like I can have real friends and not being afraid to actually be afraid of people, because I was so afraid of people. I was just like, I was afraid of my teachers. I was afraid of everything. I think I had so much anxiety and so much PTSD that it was just kind of like, I was scared of everybody. I would walk around being so scared.
Once you started dating again, what were some of the things that you had to deal with?
I remember dating this really nice guy after high school who liked me, and we started out as friends, so I felt really comfortable with him. But he was still a teenager, and we were both still teenagers, so he would be like, okay, we're in an open like dating thing, so I'm gonna date other girls. And I was like, what? Like, this is real? Like, this can actually happen? And I was kind of, I guess, hurt. My feelings were kind of hurt a little bit, but at the same time, I was just kind of like, well, maybe this is a good thing that like he's dating other girls. Maybe like he doesn't want to be tied down, so I have to get used to that. And it was kind of like a learning curve. Like, I had to just learn how to trust myself a little bit better with people, especially, and pay attention to the red flags. I had to pay attention to like a lot of the red flags. And he was a really nice guy. It just didn't work out. But then the other relationships that I got into were other controlling relationships. And I had to be like, okay, this is not good. Controlling, bad. Jealousy, bad. Yeah, it was just kind of like I had to pay attention. I had to be hyper aware of everything.
Do you know what kind of life your stalker had after high school?
I heard through mutual friends that he ended up having a girlfriend who eventually became his wife, and he has a couple of kids.
Do you think that he's ever in any way been held accountable for any of the damage or trauma or assaults that he's caused you or anyone else in his life?
No. No, he's gotten away with it. And I think that he's pretty proud of himself for being able to do that at such a young age. I remember him contacting me on Facebook when Facebook first came out. And I remember him saying, hey, friend. And I was like, friend, we're not friends. You ruined my life and kind of made me so terrified of people that I remember messaging him back and my mom showing her, and we were like, we're going to call the police if you ever contact us again, blocking him.
What made you decide to come forward and talk about this?
I really just wanted other girls and even young guys that were dealing with this stuff with abusive partners to get out, because I didn't want them to be a story of those sad stories where like you're on Dateline or on a podcast where you don't even get to tell your story. You're dead. And I'm surprised that I managed to get out alive. And I just want to tell other young people that you can get out alive too, and maybe do it even better than I did, because I know the steps that I should have taken a little bit better. I should have maybe pushed to get a restraining order, pushed to really get the school to pay more attention. But at the time, you're in it, so you don't really know what you're doing. So I just want them to have the tools to do better than me, and I want them to become safer than me and to come out more alive and better mental health stuff than me because, like, I didn't really know at the time that I was having a lot of mental health issues. My family doctor told me, and that's when we started to deal with it. But when you're going through all that stuff, you're just like, oh, I don't realize that I have mental health issues. And I just want them to be able to know that they can get out of it alive and have better resources than I did.
What are some things that you've had to do for your mental health to get through what you went through in high school?
It's a lot of resetting my nervous system because I constantly still struggle with anxiety and just leaving the house in general. And I still find it hard dating people, even still to this day. Like, I'm 35 years old and I still have trouble like dating people because I've gone through so many of like relationships where they're controlling. And it's just like, when am I going to meet a nice guy again? So it's just having to like tell myself, it's a constant learning practice. Like, you just have to put yourself out there and hope for the best, fingers crossed, and just keep kind of moving along, but also make yourself feel at peace and grounded and know that you're okay, and constantly remind you, your brain and your body, I'm safe, because I have to constantly repeat that sometimes whenever I feel too anxious about leaving somewhere, or whenever I meet somebody, or even just walking on the street and you see like a person walking close to you or behind you or in front of you, and it kind of freaks you out a little bit. I just kind of go, I'm safe. It's okay. This person is just walking their pet, or they're just having a nice walk. They're not going to come and attack me. It's totally fine. You're safe.
What's some advice that you have for other young kids that could be in a abusive relationship or going through stalking, date rape? What's some advice you'd have for them?
Go to a trusted adult to begin with, somebody that you really could trust, either best friend's parent, or a teacher that you really trust, or even your own parents if you feel like you can trust them. Start with that first, and then go to your local police department. Like, have that on record, because you want people to understand that this is a safety issue. And keep a notebook of everything that has happened. That was one of the things that I wish that I did, is kept a notebook and kept the notes secret and put them in the notebook and kind of gave them to the police department. But like, now looking back on those things, I learned from that. So if kids or young people can do that, just keep track of everything, just so they know where to like go and what to do and what they're experiencing. Just so they have everything on hand, so the police department can't turn around and be like, oh, you did nothing, so we can't really help you there. We have no evidence.
How has going through this impacted your career? You're an author, a speaker. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. It's totally changed my career. I wanted to go into fashion and to be a model for like the longest time. And I kept switching careers. And I was a daycare teacher at one point, just a substitute. And I also worked with a disabled kid part time. And those things really impacted my life. But I really wanted to get out there and tell my story. And I didn't know how, until my mom and I started a publishing company together. And she started writing her own books. And I was like, ooh, she gave me an idea with like her poetry book. I should write my memoir. And now I should get into public speaking, because that's really popular. And I started my own podcast because I was just like, I want to know how other people deal with traumas and their own experiences, and also talk about mine and just help people. I think it just changed my life, because it was like, I'm alive to tell my story. I can't like go on and not tell it. I have to tell it in so many different forms, because who knows who I can reach and how far I can go and how far I can reach people to help them. And it went from like wanting to be a daycare teacher and a fashion designer to wanting to be a public speaker, podcaster, and just want to publish my own memoir. Like, it was crazy to me, because I never thought that my life was going to be like this, especially as a teenager. I never thought that I was going to end up being who I am today. So it was just amazing.
And where can people find out more about you, about your work, your speaking?
I am on Instagram at I am as Michael or Matthew M, and then Danielle E as Elizabeth Gray.
And where can people find your podcast?
They can find me on Anchor. That's my hosting page right now. And they can find me on YouTube, On Air with Danielle Gray.
Danielle, what's next for you?
I hope that I can actually write out my memoir and publish it and get it published and actually start to promote that, because I really want to do that. But I just can't find that perfect little ending to, I want to end it off with actually having a family or getting married or engaged or something, because I want to show that people, you can end up being in a healthy relationship. And I just want them to know that there are happy endings, even though they're not perfect, they're still attainable. So I'm just waiting it through my life just to like meet that right person and be like, okay, well now I could write the ending and maybe have a little sweet, like just a little fairy tale-ish.
Danielle, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. If anyone out there is in need of help or is a victim of stalking, please reach out. You can find a list of resources on our Instagram at Strictly Stalking Pod.
If you'd like to share your story with us on Strictly Stalking, you can reach us at strictlystalkingpod@gmail.com. That's strictlystalkingpod@gmail.com.
As a listener of Strictly Stalking, please leave us a review and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen.
I'm Jake Deptula.
And I'm Jamie Beebe. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Strictly Stalking.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.